Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
The topic of this episode is playing the dating game. We have decided to take a unique departure from the normal segments of our podcast, as my collaborative writer and I, Richard Torres, have gotten into a fascinating discussion about dating and relationships and how one begins that process. So please listen from his point of view as a millennial and my point of view as a boomer, and see what you come up with and what you agree with. I know that you will find this episode really interesting and know that the pushy broad does get a little heated and pushy. So if you are looking for love, whether you are 18 or 80, everyone has to play the dating game. So sit back, relax, get comfy, and enjoy Richard and I discussing playing the dating game. The most amazing thing to me is that when people date, when they start to date, they don't seem to understand that it is a game. And sometimes, especially when you first start dating, I have spoken to many young people who find it rather confusing that they have to play a game, meaning that they always look at playing that game as being dishonest. The whole idea of playing a game is dishonest.
For example,
you're about to see somebody, right? You like somebody, you're talking to them, you started dating, like when you just first started dating your girlfriend.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
And you're not immediately an open book to that person, are you? Do you tell them everything about yourself?
Nobody ever does that.
Okay. So in the beginning, there is kind of a flirtation. There is kind of getting to know someone, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, do you think that you're playing a little game?
See, now that you mention it, right? Yes, yes. It's always, there's a scheme behind it. Everyone's very careful with what they have to say. They're kind of, you know, because they're in the mode to impress somebody.
Right.
Right.
So when you're in the mode to impress somebody, then automatically you're not 100% yourself.
You're the representative of yourself.
Absolutely. The best representation of yourself. Yes. So immediately you are looking to make someone like you.
Right.
So they're not seeing everything about you. Right. They're only seeing the things that hopefully they will like.
Yeah.
But in today's relationships, we have an added component to them. And that is that not only do we get to meet somebody, but then we get to follow them continuously.
Yeah.
on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, so that there's no distance between us in the relationship.
No.
Before social media, you would ask a girl out, right? Or ask a guy out. And then you would see them, maybe call them during the week, and then see them again on the weekend, and really not know what's going on with them until you physically called them.
Yeah.
And even if you wanted to talk to them often, you weren't calling them 10 or 12 times a day. That would probably mean you were calling them at least every day.
Okay.
But now, what's the difference with the exposure on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook? How does that dynamic change?
See them all the time. It's kind of like a built anxiety when it comes to like being on social media pretty much because, and you know what? Even in general, before that, because I like to think people, especially these days, they'll exchange a phone number or maybe one of their social media pages, and then they go from there. You know, I'll meet a girl, I'll get her phone number, and I won't call her. I'll send her a text maybe 2-3 days later. You know, I think most people today don't really even speak on the phone. They don't do that until later. That's if you're in. You know what I mean? If you have a relationship, then
you actually physically get to talk to somebody again.
Yeah, it's weird. And but before that, it's the text.
Okay, but you just said something, and I hear you. You said you meet somebody, you like them, you ask for their phone number. And you ask for their phone number in order to text them, not to call them, because the next move would be a text.
Yeah.
Right? And then you said to me, and then I wait 2-3 days before I text her.
Most people say that. Most people do that. It's one
of
those.
But that's the game. That's part of the game.
Yes.
Because when you leave the place that you have met her, maybe the next hour you want to text her or the next day you want to text her. So you're deliberately taking the time to play the game.
Mm.
Right? You're thinking, wait, you know, I don't want to text her right away. It may look like I like her too much. So I'm going to wait a couple of days and send a text.
Right. Or conversely, some people text right away. When most people do that, it's kind of, it's never the insinuation that they want to talk to them because they like them. It's always the, hey, just wanted to text you my number to make sure that, you know, we are in contact with each other. I don't want to have a conversation at all, but I just want you to know that I have your number. And that's kind of, I could see it in your expression. You're like, what? I swear. It's, people do that. It's kind of like an initiative thing. But after that, it's just kind of like...
It's like tagging somebody.
Yeah, because if anything, the conversation following that is usually going to be awkward. Oh, well, hey, what are you doing now? Even though I just met you.
Yeah, what are you doing now? Right, you know, like
seconds
really,
ago.
My God, I just met you 5 seconds ago.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So is that because that provides a security? Just holding on to that text and connecting with that person by text in that way in a new relationship, does that provide a sense of security? Does it provide a sense of excitement, adventure? What is it?
I think both. I think it does provide security because it's like that nudge, like knowing that this person has gotten your text message, that they have received it, that they have responded to you, and that they just might be responding to you over and over again, and now you're texting buddies.
Okay,
right?
So then the way
it's like
one,
assurance.
I understand that, but So then the way one gauges the level of commitment from that person or the level of like or dislike is how actively someone texts back.
Yeah, yeah, because you know, if you want to move forward to that, I'll give you an example. Social media now, right? God, I don't even know where to start with them. But there was something called Vine, where it was this new kind of entertainment thing. It kind of has died down since, but it was really big the last couple of years. Vines are like 10-second videos. They're like Snapchat. They're 10-second videos where people do funny things. They make a joke or whatever. Now, I remember seeing so many Vines where people would... They'll make a joke of how they react to someone, or they'll start playing a lot of love songs if they send a text to somebody and they don't answer them right away. Like they feel like they're being heartbroken. It's like I guess the equivalent
of
that.
See, even Tigger thinks that's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, I guess then if you call someone, they missed a call. Oh, well, I guess I'll get them later, hopefully. that anxiety exists, and then it's tenfold because a text is almost more immediate, I like to think.
Right, I understand.
And in a doctor's office, I can send a text.
Yes,
right?
yes, I understand. Ridiculous. And we're certainly going to devote quite a few episodes to texting and the way people communicate today, especially young people, and how advantageous and detrimental it is to a person's way of thinking. Okay, it's a combination of both things. And I think it may be responsible for some of the social anxieties that are happening today that did not happen before. But the major topic that I wanted to talk about was the fact that young people seem to think that that navigating a relationship doesn't involve game playing. And what the point that I'm trying to make is that it is a dance. It's a dance. It is a the kind of mating ritual that requires a give a little, a take a little bit of how mysterious can I be? How readily available can I be? I don't want to seem too readily available. All of those things. And most of the clients that come to me with relationship issues seem to find someone very quickly, or, you know, maybe it takes a while, but once they find that person, fall head over heels immediately. It is that big love, lust, infatuation stage where it's la-la land.
Pretty much.
La-la land. They cannot get enough of that person. They're texting each other 900 times a day. The I love you words come out after a month, if not less, okay? And then there's devastation when one or one of the two partners begins to back away from the relationship.
Yeah. It's pretty much hitting the nail on the head with a lot of the way a lot of relationships are now. They're pretty much that, you know, you'll be on social media. For example, Instagram, they have it. It's not that same thing. It was real popular when Instagram came out, but a lot of people post a post every Monday and Wednesday. Oh, it's my Monday man crush, or it's my Wednesday woman crush.
Right,
and that
right,
could be
right,
celebrities,
right,
what have
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
But people do that for their boyfriends and girlfriends
right.
all the time.
So I
you'll
understand
see,
that.
You'll see Joe was posting about Mary for 3 months, and then...
And then all of a sudden, Mary's gone, and it's Carol or Sue or Jane, for God's sake.
Exactly.
But the thing is, the point of it is here, it never ceases to amaze me that the people I talk to are surprised by this. It's like all of a sudden, what happened? If you continue to do the same thing the same way all the time and expect different results, it's not going to happen. So if you approach a relationship the same way all the time, find somebody you like, be instantly attracted to them, text the hell out of them, okay, be constantly together, never give anyone a minute to breathe, want to spend night and day with this person, it is eventually going to burn out because there is no room for mystery here. For the most part, in a relationship, especially in the beginning, people want what they can have, not what they can have so readily accessible. That's part of the game. And that's not to be confused with being standoffish or rude.
Right.
But that is to be taken for being a little mysterious. Not opening up and bearing your soul and being such an open book to someone so quickly in a relationship. In addition to which, people lose themselves in relationships so quickly that they lose who they are and what kind of person they want to be, what their goals are, what their identities are. And we'll certainly spend a lot of time talking about that, because that codependency makes the relationship not symbiotic, but parasitical. You're feeding off each other rather than enriching each other, rather than having two individuals come together and learn how to function independently.
Let's take a short break here. Come right back. We've got lots to talk about. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act?
Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. This is the Pushy Broad, Ellen Stewart. I'm joined by my occasional co-host, Richard Torres, and we're talking about playing the dating game. So there's a lot of things that have come to my attention this week with a lot of people that have had difficult situations, that have had breakup situations, mm-hmm. That have just begun a relationship and said, I found this girl or this guy in a bar or on Tinder or on social media or whatever, and I really like them, and it's been a week, and we haven't stopped texting each other. Mm. And that gets me crazy. It gets me crazy. Because I can see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
I can see that within a month, you won't have this relationship anymore.
You can argue if you have anything left to say.
Right. There's nothing left to say. Yeah. It's really great if you have good things and new things to bring to your partner, if you don't talk to them every single minute, if you don't get that instant gratification of, I can ask him something now. On top of which, you know how I feel about texts, and I hate texts, and right. Everybody misinterprets, you know, I mean, I just hate texts. I mean, if you want to say something quickly, fine. If it's a yes or no thing, if you want to give me directions or tell me how you're doing, fine.
Right.
But if you're going to break up with somebody on a text, or you're going to give somebody a long explanation of how you feel on a text, you're an idiot. And the person receiving that information is also an idiot.
You know, that's probably happening in like a million homes right
all,
now.
All the time. Oh, and I don't care whether it's a relationship, whether it's mom and dad, you know, sister or brother, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever it is. Texts are only words. They have no emotions or feelings behind them whatsoever. Mm. So that you, if you are reading that text, are putting your own emotions and feelings into it. Not the emotions and feelings of the person that's sending that text. You are interpreting the text the way you would interpret your emotions and feelings. So how fair is it to really know what the other person is thinking or saying if you haven't heard them? And I think one of the biggest problems young people face today is conflict avoidance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And understanding that in order to really get to know someone, it takes time to do that. And to really get to know someone, it takes seeing them, touching them, you know, looking at them, looking right. into their eyes, seeing their expressions, and talking to them.
I agree. Experiencing who not, they are.
Exactly. Experiencing who they are. And not just a bunch of words or a picture.
You ought to see how people play with that, by the way.
I know. Yeah. Listen, I know. I mean, you know, I'm not sitting here. Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not 150 years old, for God's sakes.
Exactly. But
so I get it. I really do get it. But the only reason why it's become such a big thing is because I see it all the time. The yeah. Pushy Broad and Pushy Bros out there are astounded by the fact that the relationship has broke up after 4 weeks or after 2 months or after 6 months. I mean, what do you want?
Right.
You know, you zoomed 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. Where do you go from there? I mean, you hit a wall.
The wall, yeah.
You hit the wall. So, and also understanding that if you don't play some kind of a game, it's going to be boring and predictable.
I hear you.
You know, if you're dating somebody, if they're available to you 24/7, if that person's available to you 24/7 and it doesn't seem like they have a life and it doesn't seem like they have any friends and it seems like they're always ready to be with you, that your first instinct is, what's the matter with them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's wrong with them? Or can I have a little personal space?
You know, I feel like people think that, but they don't get to that immediately. You would think that'd be kind of the normal answer. I feel like, I don't know if it's a generational thing, but I feel like people having that constant attention all the time. It's like you say, when they meet someone, I'm like, oh, I just met this person. They're great. It's awesome. We've been talking for a week. All the time, every day. They have that, like you said, instant gratification. So I feel like at first they get to that point of oh, I'm bored or whatever. Like, what do they want? Why are they so available to talk to me?
Exactly. But
they don't get there. Exactly. Until they're weird.
And that's the point. They don't get there till later, and then you can't back it up.
Yeah, they're all the extremes.
That's
in a
right.
Short amount of time.
You cannot back up a relationship if it's gone to the point where you're spending every waking minute with this person, mm-hmm. and maybe it's gotten to the I love you stage. How can you back it up and say, well, let's tone it down a little bit? I mean, come on. That
you're right.
Never happens.
Once you're there, you're there.
Once you're there, you're there. And the problem is, you guys get there so damn quick. So, slow it down. Slow it down. Get there later. I'm not saying not to feel all these things,
right.
But get there later. Put more excitement into it.
Yeah.
Don't think that you have to know somebody's every single thought or move or where they've been immediately.
No.
I mean, there's nothing wrong in many ways with going back to some of the old-fashioned ways, so to speak, before texting, which wasn't such a long time ago.
No.
And I'm talking about, you know, sending a text and then waiting a few days, maybe sending another text, maybe calling somebody on the phone the first time after you meet them and actually making a date with them and not texting them until you see them again.
I see.
What's wrong with using text just as a quick means of communication rather right. than the only means of communication?
I agree. Yes. And that's funny that you mentioned that wasn't that long ago. It certainly wasn't. There's probably people alive now, young people, you know.
People that are dating now are alive before texting.
Yeah. And you know what? There's people who
of dating are, age.
People
I mean.
Who are younger than texting are probably dating and doing all that crazy stuff right now. You know, I don't think texting was even around before the year 2000. And that's the same millennium, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's probably like a little over 10 years old, tops.
Tops.
I would say.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. And somebody out there will look it up and let us know.
Yeah.
But
it's
honestly and
lot,
truly, regardless, it's the truth. Nobody says don't text.
No.
Just don't let texting replace everything. And also understanding that one has to play a game because one wants to keep that relationship fresh, exciting. That doesn't mean be dishonest. That doesn't mean to turn around and tell somebody that you make $1 million a year when you don't, okay?
Right.
But that just means that you don't have to be available to somebody that you just met 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't
right.
mean that. And because this is a society of such instant gratification, I want what I want when I want it, and I want it right now, okay? And we're all like that.
Yes.
Texting gives us the ability to have that. Instagram gives us the ability to have that. So back it up.
Yeah.
And that means you have to play a game. That means you have to say to yourself, no, I'm not going to text her today or him today, even if I want to. I'm going to wait a respectable 2 or 3 days, and then I'm going to call them. And I'm going to lay it out for them and say to them, if they're texting me 400 times in a phone call, not in a text, I'm going to speak to them on the phone and say, you know what? I want to be able to get to know you, and I don't really think texting is a good way to do that. I think you have more to offer me than text. So in the beginning, let's have a relationship that's based on seeing each other in person and talking on the phone.
That sounds
Who
perfect.
Who would object to that?
Not me. And you know what? And in my opinion, yeah, easy for me to say not me, but I really don't. And I think that's gotten me to a lot of comfortable places. It's funny you mentioned that, though. I feel like that is so left direction compared to what everybody does. It's crazy. If someone, let's say two people, guy and girl, girl and girl, whoever, two people are texting right now and they don't text for a couple of days, at least one of them is going to be like, oh my God, I don't think they like me anymore.
Right,
all this stuff.
Freaking
and
out.
There's no way that they will call each other. No way. If the other one called, let's say, if that was the case and someone called the other in a few days, they would think, why the heck are they calling me? You know, I think a lot of people still do talk on the phone, but because of texting and social media, all that stuff, it's kind of like the third, maybe fourth thing in line to do.
Isn't that sad? Yeah, that we prefer communicate like robots,
yeah,
and communicate like through computers and through stuff with no emotional attachment whatsoever. And we prefer to put our own emotions attaching to somebody else's text. How dare we do that? How dare we interpret the feelings and emotions of another person by reading their texts?
Sounds like a half-hearted effort to me, really, anyway.
It's a cop-out. Yeah. It's a total and complete cop-out. Mm. Pick up the phone, people. It's a real thing, okay? It's a real thing. Besides the fact that if you're too scared or nervous to pick up the phone, then you need some relationship work to begin with. Because you cannot have a relationship based on the words on a text. It's absurd. And I see this with young people too. If I text someone and I want to get to them, I can get to them faster by text than I can if I call them. I can't tell you how many people I know, if I call them on the phone, their mailboxes are full. They never listen to their voicemails.
No.
Ever.
A lot of people don't set up voicemails anymore.
Right.
Either,
right.
Annoying as...
Extremely annoying. Damn. And for all those other reasons that we'll go into later, but right now the topic is understanding that there is some games to be played in a good and healthy way. If you want to sustain a relationship, if you don't want to keep having it burn out in a short period of time because you know everything about that person, and then it's done. And then it's died. Right? You want to sustain this. You want to keep it going. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back after this. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
What we're talking about here is not playing a game where, like you said, where they're deceiving anything, where they're pretending to like someone when they don't, or pretend to be someone they're not. We're talking about that game of introducing yourselves to another, exposing yourselves to another in a nice manner that becomes interesting for the both of you. I was talking quickly about a comedy stand-up I saw a few years ago, Sinbad, for anyone who wants to go out there. Great show. Plug him. Give him the cheap plug. But he spoke about how the women, how ladies today don't have the style, they don't have the game to just make their man feel good anymore. And what he meant by that, he said, now, you know, then when a woman wanted their men to do something around the house, they looked at him, he said, look at that handsome man, he could do anything. And they would start doing things around the house, and he had a whole joke. He was great. These days, there isn't that anymore. There isn't that flirtatious feeling of your woman believing in you or vice versa. It's kind of like, oh, like you're just so perfect and we talk so much and that's great because you give me all 60 seconds of every minute of every hour in the day, and that I appreciate instead of what you say.
Instead of, right, or what you do or the substance around it. And unfortunately, because texting is so impersonal, even though it's so instantaneous, it is so impersonal. It almost fosters a greater sense of insecurity.
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's distant. And for somebody to turn around, you know, in relationships today and really be very concerned with how do you feel about me? You know, how do you feel about me? Do you like me? Do you, you know, can you reinforce that with the text? And if you don't answer my text in 10 seconds, I'm going to explode. And if I send you a text and you don't answer me, I'm already going in going into mountains of insecurity. It becomes all about that person rather than that person having a good feeling about themselves to begin with.
Yeah,
it just fosters a greater sense of insecurity. And I understand what you're saying, you know, about Sinbad and the game. We used to be able to communicate with someone in a way that we knew would be productive for each other.
Right. It's a great confidence booster. Exactly. You mean it. You got
and
what you
get
wanted.
Things yeah, done.
It's not. You know, like I said earlier, it's not anything of maliciousness.
And it's not untrue, yeah. For goodness sakes. It's not. But it seems that it seems harder and harder for young adults to form more lasting, more secure relationships because they're artificial to start.
Yeah. I was just sitting here thinking about it. I don't feel like people are necessarily pleased. I mean, they're pleased with what they hear or what they read. Wink, wink. It's
right.
It's more like they're intrigued by, oh, like you're as into this hobby of texting as I am, and we're doing it with each other, so that means you really like me. That's cool. And it's the same thing with social media. You know, because that stuff, I don't want to get into it. I'm not saying, oh, they suck, or because those are all topics on their own. But those are like the means in which just people communicate now.
Right.
And now, Instagram, you don't even have to use words. Right. This is the example I was going to give earlier. You talk about wanting attention from people. There's a girl who can be from this town, whatever, and she will post a picture of herself that's very, you know, kind of showing off her body.
A little provocative.
Yeah, provocative. Thank you. She'll put her butt on a sink. That's one of the moves. I don't know. But, and then she'll get 1,000 likes. I don't think she could even list 1,000 people that she knows, let alone 1,000 people who like.
Right.
Who liked,
but that's where her self-esteem is coming from, you know, or it appears that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes relationships not only distant, but fabricated.
Yeah.
And certainly short-lived.
Absolutely. Because then what if out of the 1,000 people, one guy has kind of cute pictures to her and they start... Because it goes from there. It's less and less and less words. They start with no words. It's kind of, I guess, like lust. Kind of. Tinder's the same way, right? Where I think you swipe right or whatever. I don't know. I'm not on it.
Right.
I actually met people, believe it or not. I've never been on Tinder my entire life. So
okay. Right.
You
well, you must be a rare bird. For how old are you? You're
21.
So, yeah, you must be a rare bird for sure. Not on Tinder.
I met my girlfriend at a party.
Okay, good. The old-fashioned way. That's the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And it works. And you're still together.
Yeah.
And how many months is it?
Coming up on, well, officially dating about 6 or 7, but we've been seeing each other for almost a year.
Almost a year, yeah. And do you guys actually talk on the phone?
Yes. We don't text at all. A little bit or like...
Well, if you have to say, I'll see you later, or like, what time are we meeting?
When you get out of class.
When are you getting out of class?
Pick you up at 8.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And you really like talk to each other.
Yeah.
And have a phone conversation if you need to.
Yeah.
And the relationship is lasting. Well, look at that. Case in point.
There you go. Shout out to her, by the way.
Shout out. Ashley, shout out. Okay. Yeah. All righty. Very cool.
Exactly that. And you know, and maybe that's... Sorry, hon, I got to talk about other stuff. I've met people before or whatever, be it even my best friends. It doesn't even have to be romantic. I know we're talking about that.
Right.
But my best friends that I could think of now, I didn't meet them freaking on Facebook. I knew them. We had,
right.
You know, I was lucky. I had class and all that stuff. But it's like, you know what? We had class, or maybe we had the same sports team. We liked the same sports team. We took the same bus. My best friend, I met him on a bus.
Right.
We're talking
exactly.
About the same sports.
Exactly.
You know?
Sure.
So, you know, but back to that stuff. I mean, people just don't. Social media is the means, but like I said, they use a picture, no words. Then they start texting each other privately or messaging each other privately. It's the same thing. Kind of some words, right? Maybe kind of teasing, I don't know, and then they go into that kind of routine that you were speaking about before. They use texting, the same thing. If you use a private message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, same thing. Just a bunch of text and a white screen kind of popping up every 5 seconds, and then it goes from there. And then it either develops into whatever kind of 4-week routine they'll have, and then they start all over again. But I think they're given that, I mean, they're given that means. Social media allows that, but
it does. And unfortunately, this all stems from how fast can we make this happen? How fast can we do this? I don't have the time to talk on the phone. Exactly. Talking on the phone takes too long.
There's some people who just want to meet and they want to have sex right away too.
Yes. And it's just like, easier to text, easier to do it fast. And because we are in this, I can't be bothered doing it slow. This is the era. Texting is the era of relationships moving fast. Yeah. And therefore have the greater chance of ending fast.
I agree. And you know what? I want to talk about the example I just gave, because neither one of us are going to be out here to judge and say, oh, if you want to meet someone just to have sex with them, whatever, we're not getting into that. But I think that's funny. You can use social media and text as much as you can so you guys can meet up and, you know, do your thing and go ahead. People have done that before, though. You know what I mean? If you go out and you meet someone, they're nice, and it happens to happen that same night, that could be a whole nother subject in of itself. But even then, that was an interpersonal. I think even that is almost superseding the whole texting idea, because that might be crazy, but at least that was an impersonal interaction.
Well, I mean, you know, society for a very, very long time is very familiar and will continue to have the one night stands. There's right. No question. And that's, you know, that's what we call them prior to texting and prior to, you know, technology. The one night stand is certainly the one night stand. You take right. a chance on that, whether you see them in person, whether you Tinder them, whether you text them, right. whether you Instagram them, no matter what, a one shot deal with somebody that you just met is always a risk, whether you decide to take it or not. And that for those reasons or something to discuss certainly at a later time, that is right. always a precarious situation. There's no question.
But I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the ways that social media has changed the dating game. There was an article on the net about 8 years ago about online relationships. And they talk about 5 particular ways that social media has really changed the dating game. First, if you've been away from dating for a very long time, you're going to be surprised to find how much dating has really changed. You used to be able to make a phone call, and maybe you were a little nervous around it, but now it seems to have been replaced by an impersonal note or text. And if you're going to break up with someone, sometimes that even turns into a public spectacle. There's no doubt that social media sites such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter have improved our lives, but maybe it's improved our lives because it's easier to stay in touch with family and friends or find a job or boost the visibility of your business. But the impact on the dating world has really raised a tremendous amount of concern. Again, number one, contact is easier, but it used to take courage to ask someone out. You would make a phone call or maybe write a personal note or even practice in the mirror before knocking on someone's door. But now, all you have to do is learn to master social media. And now, getting a date on social media is simply as quick as the click of a mouse. And this is difficult when men and women are more likely to not initiate the same contact than they used to. There is a distance to this. And beforehand, if you had a busy schedule or you didn't have access to someone right away, they are no longer barriers to dating. If you're looking for a committed long-term relationship, social media makes it way too easy to meet people. You have instant accessibility. You have an enormous amount of potential partners.
And serial dating has become a real thing. And that also lends itself to promiscuity and infidelity. Number two, in-person meetings occur with virtual strangers. You used to be able to learn a lot about a person through direct contact and actually sitting and talking to them and finding out about them. But now, even before you get to meet a person, you can find out everything you want through their profiles and their blogs before you even go to meet them. You can even find out the most mundane details about what they had for lunch or who they hung out with after work. If you want to be able to put the element of surprise in this, social media has taken all of that away. And maybe it helps you narrow down, and maybe it does help you find out a little bit about who someone is and whether or not they're lying. But even social media exaggerates who that person is. The truth is, you never really know what individuals will show up when you go on a date. The other thing one has to consider is that in a relationship, you like to keep your private life private. But on social media, your private life is so much more public. Even depending on your privacy settings, you still will be able to find out about someone if you take a little time and do some search on the net. And sometimes complications arise if you don't immediately delete your social media sites and you make available all of your posts on a page that you first created. People can look back at your history and see the start and potentially embarrassing end of past relationships. Also, conversations may be scripted. On your first night out on your date, you may be in an embarrassing situation that the person that you're dating will want to script in some way. You cannot get away from every single part of yourself that may be embarrassing to share. And also, the moment that you text something, our interpretation of that is always difficult. You don't really get a sense of who that person is if you are interpreting a text message. And texting and not having face-to-face contact and not having the intimacy that you want makes it an absolute obstacle to healthy intimacy. If you want to communicate with someone, you must do that by hearing someone, being in front of someone, and actually seeing their expressions and what they actually have to say. For the person that you are about to date, the person that you are interested in at the time, the person that gives you that spark, that chemistry, you see them across the room, you start to talk to them, there is something going on. It's like the old-fashioned movie scene, twinkle in both of your eyes. It's right. Real. You can hear it. You know, you can hear the musical comedy behind you. You could hear it. Love at first sight. Lust at first sight. Like, oh, this one's going to be different kind of thing. Make it different. Make it different. If this one is going to be different, then make it different. Make it different from all the others where you're got their text number, you're texting them, you left them, you're texting them 24 hours a day, whatever. Don't do it. Take the different relationship this time and say, I'm not going to text this one out. This is not going to be a text relationship.
I think that's a challenge for everybody.
It is. Let's take the no text relationship challenge.
Why not?
Are you up for it? Can you do it? Are you so tied to that text that you can't live without it? But if you do it, make sure that you tell this person what you're doing. That you want to have a relationship where it is a phone call.
Right. We're not saying don't communicate.
That's right. Don't tell them. We're not saying don't communicate. Absolutely. Tell them what you want to do. See if they're up for it. And have an old-fashioned phone and
minor text relationship. Stop right. talking about your feelings on text. Mm. Stop trying to find out what they're doing 24/7. Mm. Don't send them a text that they have to see it. Don't include them in your Instagram or on your Twitter account just because you just met them, for God's sakes.
Right.
And see what talking to them looks like.
Yeah.
See what the anticipation of waiting a couple of days before you speak to them makes you feel.
I think that's so funny you mentioned that too. Because it dawned on me, kind of going back to my example, when I was seeing Ashley, I don't think I added her on anything until later.
There you go.
Way later. Like, I don't know. It's yeah, easy for me to just agree with it, but it's kind of true. You know, it's exactly what happened. I didn't have her Instagram until, I don't know, like at least maybe, I don't even think I had until like the school semester started.
That was a couple months in.
Yeah, a whole season. You know what I mean?
A whole season.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I do take that challenge. And I wonder if anyone, I think that a lot of people will find something at least differently, even if a relationship doesn't work out. You know what I mean? I think people can develop something in themselves through being better, better communicators.
Yes.
Which doesn't really exist now.
That's right.
You know, it's everyone's awkward and kind of, you know, I don't know. But I can attest for that. Yeah. It doesn't have to be right away.
No. Take the no text relationship challenge. Okay? Don't pour your feelings out. Stop texting somebody 24 hours a day. Back it up. Play the game. Hold on to yourself and your personality and your feelings. And remember that the world does not revolve around this new relationship. Mm-hmm. It begins and ends with you, who is going about your life and has come consequently involved with another person. Try it. Try picking up the phone. Try waiting a couple of days to find out what this person is like. You'll find you have much more to talk to them about.
Yeah.
It will be much more interesting. And it may even last longer than the normal 4-week or 8-week or 90-day blow up, which is normally how long it takes. 90 days, splat, done, over, burnt, toast.
And nobody wants a relationship
and
like that.
And nobody wants a relationship.
Sounds
like
a
that.
Free trial run on the internet.
Right.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Right.
But I can, you know, and just psychologically thinking about it and just sitting here comprehending all that, there's a certain monotony with texting where if you think about it, where if you're talking to someone, when people text so much over and over again, it becomes monotonous. It becomes like, oh, well, we're always conversing. So then when they actually do meet and converse, it's kind of like, there's not that spark of like, wow, I'm going on a date with somebody. We're going to have a conversation for the very first time about anything. It's, we've already been talking for a week.
The thrill is gone.
I just noticed that. And that's coming from me. I'm Mr. My relationship developed in person. And
right.
I just noticed that. I think that's true.
The thrill is gone. You have nothing else to say to them. There's no spark of excitement. What are you going to talk about? You just talked to them 5 seconds ago by text. Mm. You know exactly what they've eaten for breakfast, lunch, and dinner the last 5 days.
Probably.
My goodness. How boring is that?
Yeah.
Why even date them at all? Just text constantly and then just meet up to have sex someplace and then go back to texting. It's ridiculous. In fact, it's so ridiculous that if texting has become your main source of communication, I dare you to take my no text challenge. Hashtag no text 7-day challenge. Are you up for it? The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is willing to bet that most of you do not even realize how much you text. So I'm going to prove to you that you text way too much. Why don't you prove me wrong? Take my no text 7-day challenge. Who should take this challenge? Everybody in a new or existing relationship. Any kind of relationship. Or anyone who feels that they are communicating daily by text, where texting is your main form of communication. Here are the rules of the no text challenge. Number one, on a daily basis, substitute at least one text message with a phone call.
So if you don't want to talk to somebody on a daily basis, then don't text them. Number two, all of your feelings, emotions, and confrontations must be communicated via phone or face-to-face and not through a text message. That's right, people. There is no way that you can go on and on and on about how you feel about somebody in a text. It's okay if you want to say, I love you, or I'm thinking about you, that's fine. But if you want to tell someone why you are angry with them, or reveal your deepest, darkest secrets and your passions and your longings for someone, don't take the easy way out. Don't text it. See them in person or talk to them on the phone. Rule number three, do not have conversations by text. Only text a very brief need-to-know info, like appointment times, or I just took my dog out for a walk, or I'm coming home safely. Text a message that does not require a response. Rule number four, refrain from texting in the middle of your workday or school day. Do yourself a favor and concentrate on what is right in front of you. You never know what you can learn when you are not distracted. Rule number five, do not text while you are socializing or dining with other people. That's just plain rude. Rule number six, do not text while driving. How stupid can you be? Rule number seven, never drop a bomb via text. No one wants to receive unexpected news in that way. If you have news that is difficult for someone to hear, do not text them the news because you are a coward and won't pick up the phone. Rule number eight, never, and I mean never, break up in a text. Don't be a jerk and don't be a coward. Have the courage to do it in person. Rule number nine, if you're dating, skip the talking by text phase. Go on an actual date. Dating does not mean texting until you meet up at a bar. Make a dinner date, go to the movies, do something real, not robot-like. Rule number 10, make every effort not to text. See how that works for you. And if you have a difficult time actually physically staying away from texting, then you're addicted to texting. Rule number 11, tell your friends and family that you are taking the Pushy Broad from the Bronx No Text 7-Day Challenge. You are going to text much less and communicate much more by phone or face-to-face. Invite your friends to take the challenge too. Do you think that you're strong enough to go 7 days? I think you are. Prove me right. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
We've all had a push moment, and the Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, or would like to contribute to any of her segments, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.